Blog Talk Radio.
I guarantee this song won't be trending, folks. Smartphones, they've taken over your brain. You're clones, you all are acting the same. You're all just skin and bones, obsessed with fame. Soulless inside of a skeleton frame. You'll die alone, without knowing where you came. See why I'm not trending, no. 5G's will be our ending, so please listen why. By keeping you all entertained, they're slick, their methods are always the same. You're all just skin and bones.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
And we're D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond.
And boy, oh boy, do we have an action-packed week.
Yeah, if you're here to be offended, you found the right place.
Yeah.
No, Blake. Okay. So anyway, we have on super guest tonight. And you know, I've been following their page for a while. I don't know them all that well, but I do know the organization, Loud Majority of Grand Island. And they're going to tell us about themselves in
of
a
Long
little bit.
Island.
Grand Island. Yeah, well, Grand Island is at the end of next month. So, Long Island, and they're going to tell us a little bit about themselves when we bring them on. So be sure that if you want to hear any of our previous shows, that you can go to freedomizerradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, iHeart, and Apple. We're on there. And, of course, they're all posted on our Facebook page, too. So, anyway, So presidential candidates all have come out into the ring. Which wheel is going to fly off the bus first?
Yeah, DeSantis finally admitted that he was running yesterday.
Which we kind of knew he was going to.
Yeah, and he's been kind of campaigning. And on TV, Trump has had anti-DeSantis ads on for like a month now. It wasn't really Trump, but it was one of his... You know, one of the PACs that supports him.
Well, that's kind of interesting considering they were supposed to be best friends and, I mean, they were golf buddies. So, I don't know. You know, I don't trust any of these politicians. With all due respect, we do have a few of them that we are friends with, but I don't trust any of these big-wig politicians with what's going on. It's just weird. You know, Biden's in the ring. We don't have election integrity. That's been proven.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of election integrity, June 8th, we're going to have our New York State audit, and they've had a boatload of findings.
Yep.
You know, proving that there's election fraud. And, of course, none of these legislators or in New York State want to hear anything about it. If you try to approach them about it, they give you the snuff. So, but, you know, it's campaign season. They can't say anything.
Right, right.
Yeah. And next year they won't be able to say anything either because it's campaign season.
It's campaign season every year.
Yeah, exactly. So,
big news is the illegals or the asylum seekers or something.
Of course.
New York is hemorrhaging. New York City which is an asylum city, mm-hmm. is hemorrhaging. And Queen Kathy put $1 billion in the budget to help New York City out with the illegals or migrants or asylum seekers, whatever you want to call them. But they're hemorrhaging, so now they're sending all of them all over the state.
Well, they're sending them to three major SUNY campuses.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
one of them being right in this area of Western New York.
Two of them, Buff State and UB.
Yeah. So that's going to prove itself to be interesting because, I mean, the kids go back to school in the middle of August. It's now going to be June for, it pretty much is June. In a couple, you know, after Memorial Day here, next week is June. At this time, it will be June. And, I mean, what are these people bringing in? I mean, they're giving them iPhones. They're giving them education. They're giving them food stamps. They're just giving them everything. Come on. Come to America, the home of the free, land of the brave, and come for your free shit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, really, really infuriating.
Especially when, you know, the normal citizen has to pay a lot of money. You know, I think what an iPhone 14 is something like $1,000.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even afford that stuff.
Yeah, so,
So
all these county executives, even some Democrat ones, you know, Albany County executive, has said that, you know, they're calling a state of emergency, don't bring them to our town until we figure out, you know, what's going on. But the Erie County executive, Mark Poloncarz, says bring them on.
Oh, yeah. Well, they came out today and said that, you know, they tried passing a resolution, and, of course, that was declined. Well, of course it was.
You know, the Republicans, you know, the Democrats in the Erie County legislature, it's 7-4.
Yeah.
And the Republicans just wanted to have a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats wouldn't even pass a resolution to discuss it. You know, so they're all in bed with Queen Kathy, and, you know, that's all there is to it.
Well, yeah, and that includes all of them, because I don't trust any of them. Because they blow a lot of smoke on both sides, don't they now?
Mm-hmm.
So the politicians are not going to save us. People just literally hate hearing that out of my mouth, but it is the truth. They're not going to save us at this point. Even if they wanted to in New York State, the good ones can't, okay? And, I mean, the shit's getting closer to hit the fan. I mean, when we're talking about stuff that's going on overseas here, China, Taiwan, none of this stuff is on national news. Instead, you could go on national news today and find out how Carter's and Target is pushing the agenda on your children for LGBTQ. In fact, you could go to Target, well, maybe not after tomorrow since they're having some bigwig community meeting and telling, you know, you could go there and you could buy your infant, if you'd like, a bathing suit that hides his balls. This is the kind of stuff that is on national news in New York State and all of the United States, instead of the fact that we may be in a nuclear war soon enough. But let's just brush that all under the table. Instead, let's talk about LGBTQ and fucking Pride Month.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why don't they have a straight month?
Right. Why don't we all just be happy?
Because last I heard, there was only about 1.7% of the population that was gay. So why is it that this 1.7% all of a sudden has a say in everything that the rest of us do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to have straight parades.
Yeah,
and can
right.
you imagine them freaking out about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, look, what you do between your four walls is your damn business. In the end, you got to answer to the big guy. I don't really care. So, but what I'm saying is the agenda is going after the children. That is the bottom line of this agenda. They don't want the nuclear family unit. They don't want you to own anything. They want you to stick a bathing suit on your kids that hides their private part in their wiener.
Well, that's what a bathing suit should do anyway.
Yeah, but not on a male.
Well,
I mean, in the old day, in my day, Speedos were cool. Now I guess that's not cool.
Well, what about in Europe? I think they're still cool in Europe.
Oh, God.
And don't Olympic swimmers all wear them?
Yeah. Well, maybe they're going to be. I don't know. So there's a. Oh, my God, there's just so much. And, of course, I always have to go back to my alternative group here because my peeps keep me going with stuff. But, and Pfizer. So my girlfriend Justine, she's always posting stuff, and I'm grateful for that. She says that Pfizer has funded the LGBTQ index scoring hospitals to promote gender ideology.
No.
The same company who promoted the vaccine that's changing your DNA. Ding, ding, ding.
Yep, yep.
Yikes. So a deadly virus outbreak in dogs. So now all the people that were afraid of COVID and their animals getting COVID, that it literally put them down during COVID. I mean, there were people that were putting their animals down, basically slaughtering them because they were worried that they had COVID, are now going to worry about some deadly outbreak for dogs. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
What, the dogs are going to get the bird flu?
I don't
not
know.
Not the canine flu?
I don't know, but I'm
just
saying,
I thought only birds could get the bird flu.
You cannot make this stuff up. So I want to go back to the illegals for a second, because at the same time, they're all loving on all these immigrants. You know, the news likes to call them immigrants coming in. Western New York has some of the highest homeless rates that they've ever had. Well, in fact, they're kicking out veterans out of shelters so that they can take these other people in.
Right.
Yeah, but forget about the veterans. I mean, screw Memorial Day. Why celebrate that?
Yeah.
Why celebrate the 4th of July? I guess the 4th of July soon enough will be improper verbiage.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. That's the big celebration. And, you know, an interesting fact about Cinco de Mayo, it's a bigger holiday here in the United States than it is in Mexico. And for those of you that don't know, Cinco de Mayo
is
Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah, it's just another...
it's another drunk fest.
Yeah. So anyway, to go back on this article about the homeless, prior to 2020, they ranged about 900 to 1,000. So I'm trying to find in this article is so small. I'm trying to find the amount that of homeless people there are now. So there's about 1,500 now. There should be none.
Right.
None. So the news is coming out with that. All at the same time, we're just kicking veterans and, I mean, what about that couple in New York? They had weddings planned at this hotel, and they booted them out. They canceled their weddings so that these people could live there. I guess they're suing them, though.
Well, and then what happens is they're trying to get them out of there. They're, you know, staying in 4- and 5-star motels in New York City, you know.
And who could afford that? It's like $300-$400 a night.
Right. And
all free.
And then they're trying to kick them out, you know, because their time is up, and they won't leave.
Yeah. So California is voting to ban Skittles. The same state where kids can get sex changes without parental consent. Now, I'm not promoting Skittles at all. It's crap food. It's all food coloring, GMO. You know, you need to take a zeolite after you eat that stuff. And I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying that this is totally comparing apples to oranges.
It's the world that we're living in.
I just cannot. I see our guest is waiting, so we still have a little bit more updating to wait. Our bad for having technical difficulties there. But so the other big news is finally, after 2 years of thousands of healthcare workers complying to keep their jobs, they've dropped the mandate for healthcare workers. I think we'll talk about that a little bit with Kevin when he comes on. We'll kind of save that. But, the threat for terrorism, I mean, they gave, what was it, Congress or Senate, where they gave them, like, these special phones now where they're kind of off the grid phones.
Satellite phones. That's what the spies use, the CIA spies in foreign countries. And so if the phone system goes down, these guys can still communicate. And they offered them to all the senators, and about 50 of the 100 took them.
So why in the world do we need that?
Yeah.
At the same time, this big chemical train with a whole bunch of explosives just disappears. I mean, why didn't it derail like the rest of them that released toxic chemicals into the air for all of us? What happened to it?
Oh, like the forest fires in Ottawa that are causing all the haze up here?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the chemtrails at all. Yeah. Nothing. So Tina Turner dies at age of 83 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple good friends lose loved ones this week, too, so it's been a week. It's been a week.
Yeah, I wonder if she was jabbed.
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? If anything, she was made of a whole heck of a lot of plastic. That's for sure, so God only knows. So I guess out in Utah, Mitt Romney is going to have a run on the Republican side against him for once.
Yeah, a challenger. So,
yeah, challenger.
That'll be good. He's kind of a rhino, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's being challenged.
Yeah. Well, if we don't fix the voting system. Well, what happened today? I guess Arizona, they came out. Hold on, I got to find my notes here. The Arizona GOP banned the state of Arizona, from using electronic voting systems in any future federal elections.
Oh, wow.
So they're not allowed to use electronic voting, so they're going to go back to the old-fashioned paper voting.
Isn't that something?
Although somehow New York has found a way to cheat on that, too, eons ago.
Right.
And I'm only saying that because there's somebody that has major proof of that, too. We're not going to ever mention who that is. But, you know, they told me that they literally watched these people carry out ballots out of the Capitol building and fill them out in their car. So, stuff is going on.
Well, ballot is legal in New York State.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's our alarm to bring our guests on, huh? Because
yeah.
We're going to have to go to a commercial, and I guess we can delay the commercial for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we are going to bring our guest on, and Kevin, we're going to let him explain a little bit about what loud majority Long Island is, and we're going to keep it to New York, although usually it doesn't, but we're going to let him get on here. So Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hi. Yeah, so great to have you on. Just a side note, you are live and on a worldwide station. So there is a slight delay when we're speaking.
Okay.
Yeah. So welcome to D&D. Tell us a little bit about your organization, and then in about 5 minutes we're going to have to go to our first commercial. We got to pay the sponsors. You'll just hang on the line. So tell everybody a little bit that's listening about what Loud Majority Long Island is.
All righty. We started in September of 2020. Around President Trump during the lockdowns here in New York. Really, it started out as a way to give people something to do, as a way to come together with like-minded people. So we began having big Trump car parades all over Long Island. We were bringing in 5, 10, 15,000 people at one of our events. We went down Fifth Avenue in New York City, right in front of Trump Tower, with about 500 cars, about 1,000 people, and really filled out the street there. That was a lot of fun. But then after the election, we decided that we wanted to take what we had created and really bring it into a political movement, really start to put a little hustle behind the muscle that we had. And we got really involved in local school board races, our local county races down here in Suffolk and Nassau County, a little bit in Queens. And then we moved on to the governor's race with Lee Zeldin. And that turned into a podcast and a political action network. I won't say a political action committee because it's not. But, yeah, we've really just been focusing on local elections around the state because that's where I think you can have the most impact in your local community. And, you know, we're so enamored with the 24-hour news cycle and with Washington, D.C., whether it's Fox or CNN or Newsmax or whatever it is that you watch, that Joe Biden and Democrats in Washington have a real impact on your life. However, your school boards, where you send your children 8 hours a day, is really where the majority of your life is impacted. And we feel we can make a real difference on that local level. So we've been doing that for a couple of years now, and we've been doing it with great success. So a lot of fun.
Yeah, great. That's great. Yeah, and, you know.
Do you guys have a website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, on Facebook it's Loud Majority US, and the website is loudmajorityus.com. You guys can go there, check out. We have a podcast 3 days a week that's local at 8 a.m. Eastern, and then I'm on every day on LFA TV on Rumble. Exclusively on Rumble at 1 p.m. Eastern, where I do my national show for national issues, and it's a lot of fun. So that's rumble.com/LFATV, 1 p.m. Eastern every day.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I think everything is kind of intertwined. As far as the school boards, our elections here, we're in Western New York, so we're, outside of Buffalo, and, there wasn't one Republican that was voted in our election boards here. So that just goes to show you how how tight we are here in Western New York, right?
Well, yeah. No, I'm. You guys are in Erie County.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the 2022 election results up in Erie County right now. It was a lot closer than I thought, but there's room for improvement up there. We got a Republican congressman up there in Nick Langworthy, the former Republican Party chairman. So, I think that people discount New York and New York politics on a national level, but I think this last election really showed people that it is possible to really make a dent, even in a blue state like New York.
Yeah, because, when you go outside of Erie County or, some of the counties that you're in over there, which those are the majority, they control everything. The mm-hmm. people, when you talk to people in upstate New York, central New York, because Dean and I are we're board members for Divide New York. And, when we talk to those people, they want nothing to do with New York City. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's
believe me, I don't blame people. I go into the city a lot for a lot of young Republican events, and it's not the city that I grew up with. I'll tell you that. First off, the entire city smells like weed, the whole city.
Oh yeah.
And not like you get like a breeze coming by and you smell the weed. It is nonstop, constant, all day long in your face. And nobody wants that. But I think that there's a lot more opening in New York than a lot of people want to give it credit for, and I'm excited to see where it goes in 2024.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to our first commercial, so all you have to do is hang on the line. We have to pay our sponsors. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, we're going to be back with Kevin from Loud Majority Long Island, and I think we're going to get into some pretty touchy subjects. We'll be back, guys. Hang tight.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-hosts, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to proof negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey there! Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine, just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world, or your money back.
It's your turn! Time to get the vaccine!
You want to?
Sorry, you have to!
No!
Do it!
No!
You have no choice!
No!
Now! Now! Or else!
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problems,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
And we're bringing our guest back. You should be back, Kevin. Are you there?
Yep. How's it going?
Okay. I just unmuted you.
So, what's the majority of people that come out and vote in your area? Do you know that?
Yeah, it's definitely majority Republican. I mean, we're very heavily influenced by the unions down here. So it's mostly about getting people to the polls. I mean, just looking at the physical numbers themselves, if we go back to the last election, Lee Zeldin was able to win 58% of the vote in Suffolk, 55% of the vote in Nassau County, which is the majority of where we are right out here on the island. So I would say it's probably 60%, 65% Republican. It is definitely MAGA country out here. The problem is getting people out to the polls which is the problem for every political party in every election, but we try to focus on giving people a real reason to come out, so they
I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you guys are even part of the Divide New York movement. You're one of the three autonomous regions that if we were to separate the state, you guys don't want anything to really do with their nonsense in New York City either. You're just really close to them, so people automatically think that, you know, you are.
Well, the original divide movement, it was going to have two autonomous regions, and Long Island was going to be included with New York City, because, you know, New York City's at the western tip of the island. So with the geography, but then you guys in Long Island pitched a fit, so they said, okay, we'll go from two autonomous regions to three. So Long Island, In this plan, is an autonomous region along with the rest of New York State, besides the four counties around New York City and the boroughs of New York City.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, I could see why people would think that off the bat. I mean, Brooklyn and Queens is technically is geographically part of Long Island, not on the map it is. But you know, when I say that, I mean you don't got to go over a bridge to get to them from Long Island. So where you have to go over bridges to get to Staten Island, Manhattan, and the Bronx, but. You know, we don't really consider Brooklyn and Queens part of Long Island, and they don't consider themselves part of it either, so.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy what's going on in this state. So what do you guys think over there about what happened with the vaccine? I mean, I'm sure that you know people personally that were affected by the healthcare worker nonsense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, like everywhere else, we have multiple hospitals down here where people ended up losing their jobs, and a lot of people that were forced to take it, even though they didn't want to. You know, it's a real tragedy. And then, of course, the part of it that's so incredible is that then the governor comes out and wonders why there is a nursing shortage. And it's like, well, maybe that's because you fired half of the nurses. Could that have anything to do with it? You forced them out of their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know what their deeper agenda is here, but I mean, even when you look at, you know, and we've dealt with, you know, we're friends with quite a few of the senators and assemblymen in our area, and, you know, of course they're Republican or conservative, and, you know, when you look at the bills that they pass in Albany, they're absolutely ridiculous. They're not for the people at all. You know, some of the stuff they pass is, I mean, come on. You can't have little shampoo bottles in hotel rooms anymore because that's going to save the whole fucking world. You know what I mean? So it's that kind of
stuff. Oh, it's
stuff.
So dumb.
Yeah, and they do this all session long, and then they wait until the very last minute to pass, you know, 600, 700, 800 bills that people have no idea what they're even doing.
Yeah, about, 2013? So 7 years ago, I worked in the state senate. I interned there while I was in college, and I loved it. You know, I was right in the middle of the mix and everything. But seeing the way the sausage gets made is people would be shocked. People would be absolutely shocked. And just to bring up what you were saying about the shampoo bottles, I mean, down here on Long Island, you see the real effects of this green energy agenda that they have, of this Green New Deal, of this climate nonsense. I mean, we have whales washing up on our shores at an alarming rate here on Long Island. I mean, you'd get one every other year, you know, that died in the water, as animals do. We're getting one a week. And it's because the wind farms that they put up in the oceans have actually changed the migration patterns of both the bait and the whales. We got word from a lot of our commercial fishermen out here on the east end of Long Island that large scores of fish, like codfish and bluefin tuna, are not where they usually are because the sonar that comes off of these wind farms are actually moving species of animals away from where they once were. You never hear AOC talk about that kind of stuff. All she does is complain that you want to use a gas stove. And I don't know if you cook on an electric stove, but it's impossible.
No. Yeah, that makes me sad about the whales. Honestly, it does. And, you know, and when we're doing this to ourselves, I mean, don't blame that, oh, the water's too warm or whatever they're going to say is causing it. But, you know, let's keep dumping chemicals into the water, and then let's keep farm-raising fish, you know, which changes the whole DNA of, you know, like, for example, farm-raised salmon. That's not even real salmon. You know, then you're putting that into your bodies, and it's a total vicious cycle. But, you know, even here we have, you know, the windmills when you're driving through some of the nicer areas of New York, western New York, and, you know, they just totally ruin the whole landscaping. That's not the way it's supposed to be, period.
Well, now the big fight is preventing the windmills from being in Lake Erie, because what people don't know is that these windmills, they leak about 100 gallons of oil, the nasty, you know, chemical oil, a year. So they'll be leaking that into the lake. Also, you know, you remember when Lake Erie was dead when you were a kid. There was nothing alive in there, and now it's back and flourishing. Well, what has happened is all the chemicals that everybody was dumping for 100 years into the rivers and into the lake, they've been covered over with a cap of autumn silt that's washed down, you know, through erosion. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff is, all those nasty chemicals are now, you know, under this cap. Well, if they go to build the windmills in the lake, they'll be messing all these, you know, they'll be stirring up all these chemicals that, you know, caused the lake to die to begin with.
Yeah.
And they've done studies. A very good friend of mine is actually one of the big opponents to it, and he's got all the studies where the windmills would change the migratory patterns of, like, the salmon and the wide-mouth bass, mm-hmm. which is a huge industry up here. And
absolutely. And look, just if you look at the way, just if you look at the accidental pollution that's gone on up there, I mean, I'm sure many of your viewers that are a little bit older than me will remember the Love Canal disaster that went on there in the 70s. I think it was the 70s. You know, I'm sure that stuff leaking into Lake Erie and what's the other lake up there? That's right next
Ontario.
To it. I'm sorry. I'm Ontario. I'm sure that had something to do with it. And, you know, it's been 40, 50 years since that. Now we're going right back to poisoning the exact same places that, that you know, may have recovered from that disaster going on up there. I mean, you know, that's not the first time we've seen it. You know, we saw it a couple months ago in East Palestine, Ohio. You know, that land is dead, and it ain't coming back for 50, 100 years after what they did to it over there. Nobody seems to talk about this sort of stuff when they talk about their environmental policies, when they talk about poisoning the groundwater, when they talk about how, you know, the famous Aaron Brockovich movie in California, how they poisoned an entire town out there, and they knew they were doing it. None of that comes up when they talk about environmental policy. But, you know, I'm going to end up selling gas stoves out of the back of a truck like that scene in Goodfellas with the cigarettes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but instead they get rid of plastic bags and bring in paper.
Yeah,
right.
Which was one of the dumbest things ever.
When they originally
got rid of the paper, it was to save the trees, so they went to plastic. Now they're going back to paper again. They can't make up their minds.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite is we got rid of plastic straws in paper wrappers. Now we have paper straws in plastic wrappers.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it is just mind-boggling when you see, you know, but, and people, a lot of people don't know, but recycling programs, they really only recycle about 1% of that stuff. So where is the rest of it going? Who knows? You know,
it's going directly into the landfills.
Yeah. Yeah, so the whole recycling thing is really kind of a joke.
Well, the metal recycling, you know, what I've read is that just about 100% of the metal is going to China, and they're melting it down and making more stuff out of it.
More stuff to ship back here.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing about the natural gas is I was driving around last week, I stopped at a stop sign, and next to me, and I took a picture of it, was a trash truck that was powered by the clean fuel, natural gas.
Right.
And I took a picture of it and sent it to all my friends. I said, you guys remember this? I guess Queen Kathy, as I call her, or Smiley, has forgotten about this. When all the you know, buses and municipal vehicles were turning to natural gas because it was so clean.
Yeah, no, it is unbelievable how people can't, it's like they won't see what's directly in front of them. If you really wanted to get away from fossil fuels, then you would start talking about nuclear energy. You would start talking about the safe extraction of natural gas. Not to mention, just from an energy independence perspective, you know, we could be selling this off to the world. We could be giving this to the world the way the Saudis sell oil to the world. But we choose not to do that, particularly here in New York. I mean, I remember this is about 10 years ago. there was an oil boom in North Dakota. And a couple of friends of mine from down here moved to North Dakota to go work in the oil fields over there. And they were making a killing. They were making more money than any of us. They were like 23, 24 years old, making like 200 grand a year. We could have that here in our own state in a drivable distance from where I live, from where you live, but we have governors and politicians that refuse to allow private companies to make money on their own. They have to control everything.
Well, you know, and here in Western New York, what's funny is the Pegulas, you know, Terry Pegula and his wife, they bought the Buffalo Bills, kept them in town, and they bought the Buffalo Sabres. So they're, you know, I mean, everybody in Western New York worships the Pegulas. Well, how'd they make their money? Fracking in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they spent probably $3 to $4 billion with a B dollars, you know, buying these sports teams to keep them in Western New York and you know, having to get all his money? Fracking.
Yeah. And just for
well,
the record, I cannot stand the Buffalo Bills and all of the woke ideology of all of the major league teams. Just saying, but that's just me.
Well, I will say that as a downstate New York Giants fan, I'm very happy at the Bills' success because I get to make fun of all my Jet fan friends. But
wait a minute. Oh, well, the Jets, yeah, but the Giants, don't you remember what happened in that game? I don't know how old you are, but I remember it.
I wasn't around for wide. I wasn't around for wide right or wide left, whichever one it was. But
we're dating.
I do remember that, but no, that's fine. It was poor Scott Norwood.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, that was probably thrown just like the other four.
Right.
Who knows?
The other three, yeah. So.
I thought four.
No, they went to four Super Bowls. Lost all four of them.
And that's what I meant. They were probably thrown. They were probably fixed.
Well, right.
Well,
right.
You guys know. Well, you guys know what Bills stand for, right?
What's that?
You guys know what Bills stands for, right?
What?
Why I love losing Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Even after all the years of being here, I never heard that.
No, neither have I.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Well, look, I'm a Mets fan, so my life sucks.
I was always a Yankees fan my whole life, and even though, you know, I was born in Brooklyn, but we moved away when I was four. But I was always, you know, I'm a little bit older, you know, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris. I remember that competition, and that's what made me a Yankees fan.
Oh, that was that was a good time to be a sports fan.
I'm a Orioles fan.
Ooh,
only because my
rough.
Grandfather. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm sure you know about this, but my child is a product of 2019 when they got rid of the religious exemption and the 26,000 families that were affected by that. So now I homeschool a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that since 2019. And, you know, I know that they tabled the COVID. They put the COVID vaccine for the kids for school on Stricken for now, for this session. I still wonder what the possibilities of them bringing that back at some point is. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that, and we're going to keep seeing it, particularly Assemblyman Dinowitz, one of the worst among them. People have put forth bills all the time, but I don't believe something like that will pass. I think that was a lot of showmanship. I think that putting that into putting that in would really hurt the Democrats because I believe so many people would pull their kids out of school that the teachers and the teachers union, which controls the Democratic Party, would lose so much in state funding from the amount of people who pulled their kids out. So I don't believe it will pass just on that basis alone. I think if the Democrats had their way and, you know, they would just do it anyway because they don't really care. But I don't think it would be able to pass the Senate because of the power that the New York City Teachers Union has over the Democratic Party. That's just my opinion, though.
That's a good point. But remember in 2019 how much Cuomo got paid after he they got rid of the religious exemption. You remember that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Cuomo got paid. Hold on, I still have that.
What was it, 46 million?
June 12, 2019, Merck invested in $48 million in Albany. And the next day they got rid of the religious exemption. So money always talks. But so instead, what they did was they passed the health regulation through the health assembly for kids to be able to get their own vaccines anyway.
Yeah, no, I think they passed. I think their excuse, at least for that, were for young people who were emancipated from their parents, which was obviously nonsense. But as I said, I don't see it becoming law that they will make it mandatory, at least not in the near term. Down the road, we would say.
12-year-old is emancipated. You know, I mean, emancipation is usually after 18.
Yeah.
At least as far as college, you know, tuition and stuff is concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a bill on the table for summer camps that the kids had to be caught up on their vaccines. That hasn't moved yet this year. So, you know, there's always that anxiety, though, at the end of the session. What are they going to push through that's going to be a big surprise? You know, so that anxiety.
Oh, yeah. There's always little shock. There's always little nuggets in there. Like right before Cuomo was forced out, he pardoned a domestic terrorist. Most people don't really know about that whole story.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us. Tell the listeners that don't.
All right, so there's a very famous Brinks truck robbery that went on in, well, I call it upstate New York, but you guys would call it the downstate, right in Westchester, Rockland County. And following the Brinks truck robbery, all the money that was stolen went to the Black Liberation Army and the Weather Underground, which was run by Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers, two advisors to President Obama, who now teach at the Chicago at the University of Chicago Law School. Well, one of the people who was arrested for that Brinks truck robbery, his name was David Gilbert. He was sentenced to 75 years to life. He was the recipient of clemency and paroled after a 40-year sentence. Now, his wife, Kathy Bodine, was also a member of the Weather Underground. She served 23 years for this. Now, you may ask yourself, why did Andrew Cuomo do this? Why would he pardon a domestic terrorist? Well, it turns out that David Gilbert and Kathy Bodine had a son whose name is Kesa Bodine. Kesa Bodine is the former district attorney of San Francisco. He was raised by Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground. And this is not like my opinion that they are domestic terrorists. Bernardine Dorn spent 15 years on the FBI's most wanted list. Like this is she was on there longer than Osama bin Laden was. However, after the 15 years through political nonsense and radical leftism, she was not charged and is able to live a free life. She was a crucial advisor for then Senator Obama out of Illinois, and then later for his presidency. And as I said, now they both teach at America's most prestigious law school, at the University of Chicago. So obviously that was a political favor for the Democrats, letting David Gilbert out of jail. I don't see why, you know, you would let him out. And the money that was stolen from that Brinks truck robbery, as I said, went to the Black Liberation Army and the Weather Underground, which led to the death of three New Jersey state troopers by Asada Shakur. If that name sounds familiar, it is the godmother of famed rapper Tupac Shakur.
Ah, interesting. I was a kid during those years, and I vaguely remember it now that you mention all that.
Yeah, it was in Nyack, New York. They knocked over a Brinks truck, and the money basically went to go fund the operations of the Weather Ground and the Black Liberation Army. It was a radical Marxist communist organization. They very famously accidentally blew up a townhouse in Manhattan because none of them knew what the hell they were doing. Ironically
right.
enough, the Weather Underground also bombed the U.S. Capitol, which, you know, funnily enough, wasn't brought up at the January 6th trials. But, you know, so it's not the – it is convenient when leftist terrorism is ignored in history. It's weird. People talk about all the time all the history that is being not taught in our schools because of right-wingers like Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin. However, growing up in New York, 40 miles away from where this happened, I didn't learn about this in high school. I had to figure it out on my own as an adult.
Right, right. And, yeah, and me being old, you know, I remember when they used to, you know, when the news was not political commentary, it was real news, and they actually reported it. So,
it was a wild story when it happened.
I'm not sure there's been any real news since about 1918, but that's just my opinion, too. And, you know, we know what opinions are, right? They're like assholes. Everybody's got one. So.
Well, you know, I say this all the time. The idea – so I was – someone I studied journalism in school. And excuse me. One of the classes I took, it was actually my favorite class. It was taught by Bernie Sanders' cousin. It was one of the most interesting classes I ever took. It was the history of journalism, and it went from the printing press all the way up to social media. And it talked about how, for the majority of the time in this country, the idea of objective news didn't exist. If you go back, I'm a big history nerd, so if you go back to the election of 1800, John Adams versus Thomas Jefferson, they had their own newspapers, and they would just spin and make things up about each other. Some of it was true, some of it wasn't true. But it was no more partisan than Fox News versus MSNBC or Newsmax versus CNN. The only difference was back then they knew where the information was coming from. There was no one out there who tried to be, quote-unquote, objective. And that's why I tell people all the time, go and watch the most partisan news you can find. If you watch my show, rumble.com/LFATV, look, I am a conservative show. I am a Republican show. Watch my show, then go watch a liberal show and see the difference. But the people out there that try to claim, oh, I'm just giving you the facts and I'm just down the middle, that is nonsense. Everyone has an opinion. For example, in the 2016 election, you had George Stephanopoulos on ABC News, and he was saying that he was right down the middle. He was just giving you the facts. And I remember thinking to myself, you're friends with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Like, you worked for – like, you wouldn't – look, that's okay. That's okay.
Your
friend is – yeah. Like, but that's okay to have friends in politics. I have friends in politics, and I openly admit, if there's a story about Lee Zeldin or Matt Gaetz, these are friends of mine, you know, and I'm going to tell that to you. But don't pretend to me you don't have an opinion. Like when Chris Cuomo is interviewing his brother, you expect me to believe you're going to be objective? It's your brother, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ask the tough questions, right? Well, you know, I guess you know, I'm kind of a history buff too, and you know, Ben Franklin was pretty famous. You know, he was talking about the three branches of government and the checks and the balances, and he said the press is the checks and the balances on the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true until Walter Cronkite. And I always thought as a kid that Walter Cronkite was the man. And he was the first one to editorialize as far as the newscasters went. And then after that, now they're all competing into who could editorialize the most. It's a news story. The story is more important than the news.
Well, I think that if you ask most people on our side of the aisle, who do you hate more, MSNBC or CNN? I think most people will tell you CNN because MSNBC comes out and tells you they're biased. Rachel Maddow is a liberal. Chris Hayes is a liberal. you know, it's the CNNs of the world that try to tell you that they're just journalists and they're just giving it to you straight. You're like, that's nonsense. When you have to hear Anderson Cooper talk about victimhood and oppression culture, it's like, bro, you're the last living Vanderbilt. Don't tell me about oppression. You're literally an heir to the wealthiest family in America.
Exactly. The elite, right. the 300 elite that there are. So here's a good thing about television. I don't watch TV, period. I get my news from other and better sources. But television, tell-e-vision, tell-a-vision, tell-live-vision, tell-lies visually, program, you've been programmed, channel, they're channeling your energy. How true is that, though?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I definitely can see that connection there.
Yeah. All right, so we got to go to another commercial.
Okay.
And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about New York.
Sounds good.
So, all right. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We will be back in 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool.
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow.
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue.
Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
No, everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you going to sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
Huh? You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Now, what do you think of the draft? I think America wants new leadership. New leadership. What kind of leadership do you suggest? I suggest a wizard.
A what?
A wizard, like Merlin, who could kill his enemies by wishing them dead. That's the way we'd like to beat communism now, by wishing it dead. The manufacturer wants more war orders and lower taxes. Labor wants more consumer products in a 30-hour week. The college boy wants a stronger army and a deferment for himself. The businessman wants a bigger Air Force and a new Cadillac. The housewife wants security and an electric dishwasher. Everybody wants a strong America, and we all want the same man to pay for it. George. Let George do it.
I disagree with you. I don't want to let George do it.
You must be the exception.
No, I'm George.
Well, that's a hot
one. Everyone wants George to do it.
Except George.
Here in front of the Midnight Mission, a homeless shelter in Los Angeles, Skid Row, where they serve up to 3,000 meals a day and house 250 people a night, We're asking the homeless population in this area, what are you doing to stay safe from the coronavirus? Do you know what the coronavirus is?
No, I don't.
What do you know about the coronavirus?
That there's bacteria in the air.
I think it's a combination of tuberculosis, some other stuff.
Do you know what the coronavirus is, ma'am?
Well, it's supposedly said that it was some kind of virus discovered by a scientist, kind of doctor or so, and they named it either after him.
It's in the air, in your face. So we have to take care of ourselves. If not, we're going to die.
Have you heard about any homeless hotels? The governor, Gavin Newsom, said that he was providing thousands of beds for the homeless. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Nothing.
Just now hearing it from you.
You're just now hearing it. Okay. Have you heard anything about the homeless hotels?
Yes.
Very good. Why didn't you choose to go into the homeless hotel?
Well, I don't choose because I haven't been there, but I'm here, but I am safe because, you know, I'm doing what the government wants me to do.
Okay. So you feel safe among all these individuals out here?
Yes.
How do you get your news regarding the coronavirus?
I probably listen to it. I'll be on the radio, people walking past with a radio or watch the TV.
So you're not getting any cohesive information, you're just kind of word of mouth and maybe you hear a radio or a TV where they may mention it here or there.
Yeah.
So you'll enjoy this, Kevin.
All right.
I don't know if you heard about this, but a statement came out from Ed Cox. And Democrats proposed tax credits for abortion and gender surgeries. For May 25th, it says, New York GOP Chair Ed Cox today released the following statement in response to Senate Bill S-666. Whoop. Wow, that was a Freudian slip, I think. In response to Senate Bill S-6637, which was introduced by Senator Michelle Hinchey, Democrat, of course, which would provide $500 tax credit to New Yorkers who receive abortions and gender reassignment surgeries.
That is unbelievable.
People like, and my girlfriend Catherine just sent me a text and she says, I like tax cuts, but this one is really below the belt.
Yeah. No, it is staggering to me what some of the things that get approved. And look, like I said, I'll take tax cuts all day. However, I am curious sometimes as to what they actually do go for.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember when I was in school, you know, you learned about the serfs, S-E-R-F. You know, they were the ones that were enslaved to the kings, right? And it was always the poor serfs. The kings took all their money. You know, they didn't have anybody to live. Well, you know how much the serfs were taxed by the kings? It was 25%. I want to be a serf. You know.
Yeah, right. That sounds pretty good.
The tax rate was only 25%. When I was working, you know, when you include the gasoline tax, all the phone taxes and tariffs and all this stuff that nobody's even heard of, you know, that's on your phone bill, your gas bill, your electric bill, you know, I figured out my tax rate was actually like, you know, 70-some percent. And I wasn't making, you know, over $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, it is wild to see what they tax.
Funding that tax credit.
Right.
So, just saying.
And, you know, it is incredible because you'll hear Democrats say something, well, we're not going to tax anybody making, you know, under $400,000 a year. You know, some people will think to themselves, oh, okay, that's not bad. They'll do is they'll either blow out inflation, as they've done, or they'll just raise the individual taxes on certain items. So oftentimes you'll see a raise in the tobacco tax, which is a tax on the poor. You'll see a raise in the gasoline tax, which is a tax on the poor. You'll see a raise in property taxes or a lack of deduction in salt taxes, which is a tax on the poor. You know, Democrats want to talk about salt tax deductions like it's only helping the 1%. I got news for you. If you live on Long Island or Westchester or Dutchess or Rockland County, and I'm sure up by you it's the same thing, regular people pay more than $10,000 a year in property taxes. Normal people do. My dad's a cop. He pays more than that. You know, I don't think I wouldn't consider my father a member of the 1%, as Bernie Sanders would say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Property taxes in New York State are just out of control, and you know, I mean, almost half the money that I make goes to property taxes, and I don't live in any McMansion or anything like that. It's just my property tax. I've been in the same house for 34 years. And my property taxes have gone up 364%. And this
That's
is
unbelievable.
Town. So there, it's a rhino-controlled town.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important, as I said before, to get involved on your local level, because that's, you know, running primaries against a lot of these people. If you have the talent and you know what you're doing, you can really make an impact. And a lot of them, when you do it, they don't see it coming. They think that they're just going to skate in and never have to face an actual challenge. But we've been able to show them down here that you're actually going to, you know, we haven't had the success that we had wanted to have. However, we were able to make a dent in at least the illusion that what the parties say goes. And believe me, nothing is more fun than walking into a county Republican Party meeting when you know that everyone in the room hates you and watch them have to kiss your ass.
That's how it is when I go to my local GOP meeting. Half the people in the room hate me, the other half love me because I was a chairman for 8 years. And the half that hate me are the rhino politicians. And I call them rhinos to their face, and I told them that I was embarrassed that I helped every one of them get elected because they breached the property tax cap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that.
It's funny. People say to me all the time, they're like, why do you keep going to these things? And I'm like, because the bar's open.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. That bill, I mean, that. And then he's calling for her, if it reaches her desk, to veto it. Are you serious? She'll never veto anything that the Democrats put out there or pass.
Oh, no, never.
They used to say with Cuomo it was like three men in a room. You know, it's still three men in a room. The leader of the Senate, the leader of the Assembly, and then Queen Kathy.
Yep.
You know, well, it's not three men in a room, you know, unless she had a sex change operation. Then
which
get her $500.
Possible. We don't know nowadays. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, Kevin, tell us what else you want to talk about.
I know you guys were talking about the immigrants being put in the local colleges up there. One of the colleges that they're looking to place a lot of these illegal immigrants is Stony Brook, where I went to college, about 5 minutes from my house, and it is incredible to me that they think that this is going to go over well in any way, shape, or form. And I don't understand why people would be okay with this sort of thing happening.
Yeah, and, you know, a few years ago, for some reason, I forgot why, I had to take a TB test. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I was told for my test, and I told the nurse, I said, I thought TB was dead. You know, they closed down all of the TB hospitals and stuff, you know, back in the 50s, in the 40s, in the 50s. And, you know, it's easily cured with antibiotics. It's not a virus. It's a bacteria. I said, you know, why are people concerned about TB? Well, I guess all these immigrants from Honduras are bringing it in. You know, and that's why polio is on the upswing and all these other diseases. Well, you know, they're housing these people in dorm rooms, and what kind of diseases are they going to leave for our college kids?
The next
Absolutely,
pandemic.
And you know, it's incredible to me when I think, look, we don't know who these people are, we don't know where they came from, we don't know about their criminal records, we don't know about their past. All we know is that, you know what, these people don't belong here, okay? You know, there was a time in this country where the asylum claims were actually used appropriately, We took in illegal immigrants that were fleeing persecution from Idi Amin, or we were taking in people fleeing persecution down in some of the Central American countries, down in Colombia, things like that. Asylum was meant to be a very specific thing. And people want to go back and they want to talk about Ellis Island and they want to say all that. Firstly, my big argument to them would be, number one, we were only importing people through Ellis Island that we needed at the time in the Industrial Revolution and in the early 20th century. We needed low-skilled factory workers. We do not need any more low-skilled workers in this country. Personally, I would say if you want to come to this country and you're an engineer or a doctor, okay, you go to the front of the line. If you want to come to if you bring something to the table, I say we take in the best and the brightest. If you're a scientist, if you're a civil engineer, you build things. My problem, we don't need any more Uber drivers. We have enough of them.
Yep. I'm first generation. You know, my parents immigrated to the country, and my mom was a citizen. She was born here, but she was raised abroad, and she met Dad in New York City, and it took Dad from 1947 till 1953 to become a citizen. Now, back then, you know, this is what people don't know about. Around 1900, almost 5 million Italians came to our country. Well, 2.5 million of them went home. Why was that? They couldn't cut it. So up until 1965 or 66 with, LBJ's Great Society where they opened up immigration, you had to have a sponsor. And what did the sponsor do? It gave you a place to live, gave you food, helped you find a job, and if you couldn't cut it, gave you a one-way ticket home. So,
absolutely.
You know, it wasn't the government's job, it was your sponsor's job to help you out get you on your feet.
That's the way it used to work. It used to be you could come here if you had a brother or a sister, a father, whatever. That way you had somewhere to go. We are importing people, and we don't – look, people want to claim racism and xenophobia and all this stuff, and I go up to these people and I ask them, where are we going to put these people? Because they have to go somewhere. They're human beings. Believe me, it does not bring me great joy that these people are sleeping under a bridge in Eagle Pass, Texas. That can't be the life that they thought they were coming to. Where are they going? They have to go somewhere. So unless you're personally going to house a family of El Salvadorian immigrants, I don't want to hear it from you because all it's going to do is end up on our streets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, my grandparents, when they came over from Ukraine in 1949, they were sponsored by a family member, and that's exactly what happened. They didn't come over here for free. My grandfather worked on the railroad. It was like a nickel an hour that he was making, literally. They worked for every single penny that they had. And when she died, New York State took all of it anyway because, you go into a nursing home for the last few months of your life. God forbid you do that. They drain every ounce of money that you ever made before Medicaid will even kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing that you're a history buff that you probably don't know. Between 1928 and 1965-66, mass immigration in this country was halted, and they were only accepting the scientists and doctors and things like that and engineers. And why was it halted? Well, because of the millions of people that came in around, before 1928 to give them a time to assimilate. Now, the biggest problem that I've got is, these new immigrants, they don't want to assimilate. You know, they want you know, our country made a mistake by not having English be the official language. We have no official language, so we have to cater to all these, you know, other languages and stuff.
Well, that's another
my
thing.
My dad.
That's another thing. Is that that's something that nobody takes into account. That if these illegal immigrants are put into a certain community, their children can be immediately put into the local schools. So now you're
right.
Now if you have a class, now if you have a class of 25, let's say, you might have a class of 29, which doesn't sound like that big of a deal. But if four kids in the class don't speak English, like, that's a problem for everyone. That's a problem for the teachers. That's a problem for the other students. And that's a problem for the immigrant children. You know, I don't blame a three-year-old for being brought to this country. It's not like they were like, nah, Ma, I'll stay home in Honduras. Like, they're 3 years old. They're going to be or 6 years old, we'll say, for the school argument. They're being put in the schools. But at what point does the virtue signaling come into the real world where you are causing more problems than you are solving?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, good show and good points. And, you know, we totally appreciate you being on tonight. Just tell us again what your website is and how people can get a hold of you if they need to.
Absolutely. You guys can go to loudmajorityus.com. Loudmajorityus.com. You can send me an email over there. I'll get it. We have a shop that we sell all little funny T-shirts, and that's how we keep the movement going down here. You can check out my show daily, every day, 1 p.m. Eastern, rumble.com/LFATV. We have a whole network. We're actually the largest, fastest-growing conservative media outlet in the world right now, where it's incredible what's happening over on Rumble, what we're doing over there. We've got 9 different hosts. We do an hour of programming a day. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, well, maybe we'll return the favor. I'll be on your show one day and have a chat. So,
absolutely.
That would be great. So upcoming shows for us, we'll be sure once this show is up that we send you the link for it.
Definitely.
Upcoming shows, you guys, next week we have on the Cheektowaga Republican Party. They're going to be on talking about what they're doing for their upcoming elections and what they think they're going to do to change Cheektowaga. Then we have on Citizens Audit. That's the following week. What else do we have going on here? Oh, my gosh, I'm in the wrong thing.
Then Diane Sayre.
Yeah, Diane Sayre running for Senate against Christian Gildebrand. And then the following week, we're going to have on Mike Madigan
and Dan Kilmore.
They're running in Grand Island. And the following week, we're going to have on Dave Franklin. So we got a full month for July. We are looking for shows booked to be booked in July, full June. That's what I meant to say. I always tell when it's getting late towards the end of the night. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So anyway. Thanks again, Kevin, for being on. It was a pleasure speaking with you in person. And D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, we're signing out for tonight, guys. Be good to each other. Have a good week. My God, if we have as much news next week as we did this week, I'm going to have a hard time keeping track.
Yeah, and have a good weekend. At least up here in western New York, it's supposed to be in the 80s and sunny and no rain for
a week. Yep, holiday weekend. Thanks to all our veterans, and you guys have a good night. Stay tuned for Bare Faces Legal. They're up next. See you later.